So, y'all, this is our concluding sermon on in our series, I'm about that life. And so, as you remember on last week, we spoke from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, as we talked about, is there a hole in your holiness? You know, when Reverend Boykin stood and said, you know, we're guided here by Pastor Love, you know, I got nervous when I just heard Pastor Love. He said, who, me? Pastor Love? But for real, though, do y'all ever, when you think about people say that you're holy, how does that resonate with you? Does it make you nervous sometimes? Me, holy? But here's the thing. Peter said, and God speaks through Peter, he says, be holy. God says, be holy because he is holy. And I believe in this season, God is calling us back to. He's never called us away from it. But really back to holiness and what that really looks like as the body of Christ, what that looks like in your personal life. God is calling you and me to be holy. And so in this concluding message, which is a message I shared some years ago, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And it reads as thus. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I'm not like a sinner, like everyone else, for I don't cheat, I don't sin, I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed instead. He beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh, God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. I want to speak from the subject, honest to God. Honest to God. So, in ancient Rome, sculpting was a popular profession. Just about everywhere you looked, everywhere you go throughout the city, you see some sculpting of one of the false gods that they worshiped. It was really popular. And so the less skilled sculptors would use wax to hide the cracks in the inferior material that they used to make their sculptings. They wanted to sell it at a higher price. They wanted to make it look good. But those authentic sculptors decided that they would do something different. They would take the sculptings and they would inscribe on the sculptings these words, sine sera, without wax, to show that it had not been altered. And so the Bible says that God considers, he is the potter and we are the clay. I wonder how many people in the house today that when you look at your life, that you really want to see sine sera written over your life, that you're without blemish, that you're without crack, that you're honest. Sine sera means sincere or honest. I think many of us want to live a life without wax. A life where our flaws, though, where they're hidden, but we can be honest with God and honest with one another because we all have flaws. I wonder how many people in the house today could really say that you are sine sera, that you're sincere and that you're honest. What would the church look like if we were all sincere and honest with God and with one another? How would it feel to be real and sincere and genuine and not have to cover up your flaws for fear that people will judge you? And people will look down on you because of your failures and your fears. What would it look like to give God and others a life the Sine Sarah. I'm not talking about a perfect life, but I'm talking about a life where we're just real with God, that we're honest with God. And to that extent, we're honest with one another. It was William Shakespeare that said, God has given us one face, and we give ourselves another. And so our text for today, we find Jesus telling a story. It's a parable. A parable is simply a story that illustrates one or more principles, one or more divine or heavenly principles. And he's telling it to his listeners who in our text for today, that they had great confidence, that's what it says, in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. That they looked down on other peoples in their religious haughtiness. In this particular story, we encounter two people. And they both go to the temple. They both go to the church to pray. Yeah. The text says one is a Pharisee, that he's a religious guy, that he's pompous and he's arrogant, that he's a religious leader. And he says even of himself just how good he is. And while the other is a publican, he's a tax collector. And so a tax collector in those days would have been considered one who was dishonest. He would have been part of the IRS of the day. How many like the IRS? Public enemy number one. Oh, some of y'all get a return, but some of y'all know you don't get a return. You paying Uncle Sam. And so you feel what I'm saying. But in the heart of the text, it's really talking about the content of prayer. But what I want us to focus on is the contour of the faces of these two. One man, the publican, stands before God in freedom despite his many flaws. His face is uncovered before God. And when I read his story, I think about Moses and how he went to the mountain and he stood before God. He was real and authentic with God, face to face with God. And when he came down from the mountain, that his face glowed, that the glory of God was upon him. I believe that when we're honest, when we're real, and when we're raw with God, that listen, that's where transformation takes place. That we have the glow and the glory of God on our lives when we're real with God, when we're sincere, and when we're honest. It does not mean that we're without flaw, without mistakes. But we try to see the face of this other man, this Pharisee. But I believe he's wearing a mask, y'all. And the sad thing is he's not even aware of the fact that he's wearing a mask. Yeah. His true face has been masked by his own make. How many people walk around with masks on and they don't realize that they're even wearing a mask? And it's a mask of their own making, of their own doing. He stands before God proud. He's proud of his accomplishments. Proud of the things that he did not do. Proud of the things that he did do. God ought to be happy to have a man like that, right? But here are two comparisons, two faces praying before God, yet only one, according to the text, walks away justified before God. Only one walks away, Sine Sarah, without wax. Honest to God. And can you guess which one? Yeah, the praise team used to sing this song a long time ago, that there's nothing like being free. And I wonder this morning how many free people are in the house today. I believe this with all of my heart. To the extent that you are honest with God and real with God about your issues, about your flaws, about your mess, and about your stuff, you can never be truly free to that extent. But it presupposes something else too, that if I'm honest to God, if I'm real with my stuff, and I'm crying out to God, I ought to be willing to not do it again, to get rid of my stuff and my flaws and my issues. And the only way I can do it is through His power. God wants us to be honest with Him so we can be free. So can I ask you? Can I lean in? Will you look at me? I'm looking you in the eyes. Are you really honest with God? In every area of your life, is do you use the wax of life to cover up some of the blemishes, some of your faults, some of the cracks in your life? But to the extent that you open your heart to God and you're honest with him, you will never be truly free. God wants us to be honest. And again, we all have this tendency to wear masks. And why? So think about Adam and Eve, our original quote unquote mother and father. Remember what they did in the garden when they messed up. That they hid from God and they tried to cover up. And the Bible says that God came through the garden in the cool of the day and called Adam, "Where are you?" And ever since that day, man has always been trying to cover up. What do you use to cover up? Adam and Eve, honest before God, that they stood in the very presence of God, but they chose to cover up when they sinned. And so this Pharisee, y'all, let me get on with the story. The Pharisee, listen, he has what I would call the holy face. I'm better than mass. People that wear this mask, y'all, this face, they oftentimes see themselves as better than other people. And though they may not say it, they kind of have that holier-than-thou air. You know, you hear it in their speech, in their haughtiness, and in their pride. And this mask, y'all, can be so deceptive because most people will not admit that they have the holier-than mask on. Because the holier than man is steeped in pride. And so think about the disciples. When they came to Jesus and say, "Jesus, listen, man, when you come into your kingdom," and they didn't understand what the kingdom was all about anyway. They thought Jesus was going to ride up into Rome and he's just going to, you know, pull out the sword and start killing everybody and restore Israel to their rightful place. That they did not understand he was talking about a heavenly kingdom. But they said, "Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, man, I'm going to be your ride or die. I want to be right next to you. I want to be the one that they look at. When they look at you, the next one, they look at me. Look at him." That this holier than face, this holier than mask is steeped in pride. And the thing I disdain so much about pride is that most people don't see it when they don't realize they're wearing the mask.
Yeah.
Pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. If we ever find ourselves wearing this mask, listen, we need to know that scripture. Pride and ego will never allow us to be honest with God. But there are other masks. The Pharisee, it's a prideful mask. It's a prideful face. But some people wear the hard face, y'all. This is where I'm just always serious. Don't look around, look at me. You know any folk, they just always serious about everything. You tell a joke and it's a good joke and they just, Some people believe it's their duty to go around like they're sucking on a sour lemon, like. The hard face. There are some things in life that require serious thought and reflection and it should be handled with gravity and everything. But listen, we can lighten up sometimes, y'all. We can laugh sometimes. Some people are experts, y'all. They're experts at being hard-faced people. People who wear the hard face will get worked up and pushed over the edge over the slightest offense. It takes very little to set them off, and people wear this mask. They have this way of awfulizing and terribilizing things. "Oh, that's bad over there. Oh, that's not good over there." I remember years ago. And I just say this, that, you know, some folk can be so serious, you know. I mean, they were rebuking Scooby-Doo. It's just a cartoon, man. It's some of y'all young folk, y'all don't know Scooby-Doo, do you? Y'all, Scooby Snacks. Oh, okay, let me bring it up for the kids. How about Bluey? Smurfs? But they saw something awful in everything. There's something demonic in everything. But they just super spirit, super about everything in life, and just hard people. And here's the thing about hard faced people: they try to control everything.
Come on.
That in a sense they're almost like a control freak. And the reality is we can't control everything in life. As a matter of fact, we can't control a whole lot in our lives. Those wearing the hard face can see God as hard and super critical, and it's difficult to be honest with God when you see God as this hard God, this unloving God. But God is a loving God. He's a kind God and a caring God. And so don't walk around with the hard face and the hard heart. I think about Martha, the story of this woman by the name of Martha. Jesus decides that he's going to show up at her and her sister's house, Mary, to have a meal one day. And so they invite him in. And so Mary sits down beside Jesus to see what Jesus has to say. That's important. But Martha, she's in the kitchen and she's stirring the pots, y'all. She's cooking. And what does she do? She gets upset with Mary. Jesus, tell her to come in. Help me with this stuff. Don't you see? I don't want the chicken to burn. She needs to be in here in the kitchen. Yes, I do. Did y'all know that Bojangles only has chicken strips? They don't have no bone-in chicken, y'all. Yeah. We were talking about that yesterday. That ain't no Bojangles. That's just a jangle. That's a... See, you done made me lose my thought. You done made me lose my thought. But for real though. Listen, don't be that hard-faced person that I'm serious than other people, which, again, it almost makes it seem like you're holier because you're more serious. Remove that mask and do what the Word of God says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. Trust God. There's also, I'm just talking about the contour of faces. When you look out into the congregation, when you look out into the world, what kind of mask are people wearing? There's also the happy mask, y'all. This is the always cheerier than mask. Now, honestly, most of us love to be around people that are upbeat, that they're positive, and they're cheery. But Reverend Parnell, some people take it to an extreme. The Bible says that Barnabas was the son of encouragement. That's what his name means. That he was an encourager. But y'all, there's some folk, they just take it to Barnabas times 10, you know. They always happy and cheery about everything, And listen, all of us are down at some point in life. I don't care how cheery you see yourself. If you live in this world, listen, there'll be times when you will be down in this life. To all the happy-faced people, don't get mad when people rejoice when you're upset. Because at least they know you're human. They know you cry sometimes. Yeah. They know you get down just like everybody else. Yeah. People that are always giggly and happy all the time are people that are usually covering up, though, some issue. And just what I found out in life, it's usually something like an esteem issue. That they try to laugh everything off. They just try to be upbeat about everything. Seriously, being honest with God, it means that we have to expose ourselves. That we can't just say we're happy about everything in life. We can often substitute our pain for fake laughter. Listen, God wants you to be honest with him, to be real with him, and to be real. Why do you think God put us together? So that when I'm hurting, I can come to you. And when you're hurting, you can come to me, or you can come to Reverend Boykin, or you can come to Minister Dawn. That God has gifted us and given us many ministers in this church. They can be a benefit and help to you. So everybody don't have to come to me. And say, you know, seriously, being honest with God and others means being able to share when we're hurt. That all of us have burdens. All of us have stuff that we deal with. And we can bring our burdens to one another. And then there's the hurt face. That's the I'm less than mask. And so many people walk around with with that particular mask. The person that wears this mask is a perpetual victim. They can never seem to break free of the cycle of inferior thinking. The person who wears the I'm less than mask has a tough time realizing they aren't what happened to them in the past. I think about the story of Ruth and Naomi in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that through Ruth, the lineage of Christ would come. It's Old Testament story. But when you read that story, it starts out by saying that this woman by the name of Naomi, who was from Bethlehem of Judah, that her husband died. And sometime after that, she had two sons, and her two sons died. And so she says to the girls, listen, your husbands are dead. Go back to your homeland. But Ruth refused to. She stuck with Naomi. Y'all, when Naomi gets back, when she arrives in Judah, she goes back to her homeland in Judah. And the people looking at her, girl, that's Naomi over there. Naomi, where you been? What does she say? Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Because I'm bitter at my heart. I'm bitter in my soul. How many people are still stuck in what happened to them? That they're still bitter. How many people walk around with the hurt face? Yeah, mama didn't treat you the way she should have treated you. Maybe daddy didn't treat you the way he should have treated you. People don't always treat you the way that you think you ought to be treated. Life happens, stuff happens, but don't walk around with a hurt face. I'm less than mask. And to the person that may have been hurt really, really bad, or gone through some difficult trauma situation in their life, listen, you've gone through some trauma. I want to say to the young person that may never fit in, that it looks like you don't measure up. Listen, you don't have the perfect body image. You don't have the perfect face according to the world standard. Listen, maybe you're not in the hip crowd or the cool crowd. You need to know that God is down with you. Jesus is down with you if nobody else is. That he says that you are more than a conqueror. That he says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. That he's placed power in you. That you're a piece of pottery that has purpose and a destiny. So when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, we don't have to live with masks. We can live honest to God, y'all, honest to God. We have so many roles that we have to play, whether it's mother, a father, son, child, friend, church member, employee, the boss. And if we're not careful, we confuse and mix these roles up. And oftentimes in these roles, when we feel like maybe we're inferior, we're not meeting up to a particular standard or a particular way of being, we'll put a mask on, y'all. And we'll use that mask to compensate our deficiencies and our weaknesses. When was the last time, y'all, for real though, listen to me, when was the last time you really woosahed, you really exhaled? In the person that the Lord truly made you to be.
Yeah.
Or when people come around you, when you come into the house of God, you know it's time to put on the smiley face and the happy face. And everything is wonderful face. Or you come through the doors with a hurting face, with your head hung down because you're still thinking about what happened to you 10 and 15 years ago. Or you come in with that haughty face, with that prideful face because I'm so holy. I'm God's person. But what mask, what face should we really have? I think the publican teaches us in the story. That he wore a mask, y'all, that was transparent. It was so transparent because he wore no mask. If he were to wear a mask, I would call it the humble face. While the Pharisee stood in front of the temple in his limelight, in the splendor and his glory, the publican stood on the outer edge of the temple. Look at the humility in his eyes, y'all. The passage goes on to say he wouldn't so much as raise his head up to heaven. The Pharisee was stood there proud as he looked up. The tax collector was too ashamed to even look up. He humbled himself before the mighty hand of God. And the Bible says that's the person that God will exalt. And so we all have to walk in humility, the humble face. You know, three of the most difficult words to say, y'all, I have sinned. I messed up. Come on, men, talk to me. Look at me. Don't look around. Come on, look at me. Don't look around. You're driving down the highway and you take the wrong turn, and your spouse says to you, I think you took the wrong turn. I didn't take the wrong turn. I wanted to go this way. I just wanted to pass by the place, so I just want to see that over there. Yeah, we know how we are. It was Pharaoh in the Bible, this evil king, that said, I sinned. But he really didn't mean it. There was this false prophet by the name of Balaam that said, I sinned. But it didn't last. This man by the name of Achan, when they went to battle with Jericho, and God told him, don't take anything from this battle, destroy everything. Achan decided he'd take him some of the goods with him. And Achan eventually said, I sinned, but it was too late. That he and his family were destroyed. That his sins cost Achan his bacon and his entire family. It was Saul that said, I sinned, but this prideful king was not filled with humility. And we remember Judas, the one that betrayed Jesus. That he said, I sinned, but you look at Matthew 27:4, you never see where he repented. The Bible makes it clear that all of us continue to sin even after we become believers. If we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:8. I believe that the publican wore the transparent mask of humility as he whispered his short prayer, Lord, have mercy. His prayer was more than a confession of sinfulness. It was a plea for transformation. That, Lord, I'm messed up. I'm jacked up. I'm a mess. I'm a wreck. But God, I want to be better. Jesus, I want to be more like you. How many of us are that honest with God? How many are that honest with Jesus? It does no good. Hear me. It does no good to be honest with him, to be honest about your issues and your stuff, but you're unwilling to change. But I believe when the cry is real, when it's that gut-wrenching cry, God, I need help with this issue. God, I need you to help me through this. That he'll do it when the heart is real and the heart is right.
Yes, yes.
And I believe there's nobody greater than God himself. If Jesus can't fix it, nobody can. So in the text, y'all, I'm just about done. There's another word that I like to use in place of that justified. There's he went home justified before God. Which one? When justified, they were justified by God. There's another word I like to use, and that word is approved. That's what it means. If you look at the word justify, it really means as if something, just as if something didn't happen. Just as if it was resolved. When it comes to our sins, we are justified because of the blood of Jesus Christ, y'all. It's just as if it never happened. But I like the word approved, if I can use that for a minute, approved. So some of y'all remember this old drive time commercial. Maybe they still have them come on. And there'd be a person sitting in the office, you know, and so it didn't matter whether he had good credit, bad credit, no credit. Most folks that use drive time, hey, the credit ain't all that good. But the person would take the application one at a time, stamp, approved. Approved. Didn't even look at the application. Approved. Y'all know the two. Approved. 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 Drive Time is an auto sales company that will just about guarantee and approve a loan for any car, no matter what kind of credit you have. But y'all know something about Drive Time. Yes. At the same time, you can be sure they penalize you for bad credit by charging you interest rates that are out of this world. Almost criminal, y'all. It is criminal.
Yes,
well, I believe all of us have some bad credit. That we have a bad credit record, and on that record is a thing called sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you receive Christ into your heart and you seek to live for him, God sees the bad credit. And when you're sincere and honest to God, God says, come here, approved. When you're honest to God, we don't have to worry about being penalized by being eternally separated from him, because what Jesus did, that he paid the ultimate price. The price was high, the interest was high, but Jesus paid it all for you and for me.
All right, all right. And so no matter the mess, hear me today, no matter the issue, the failure, or the flaw, when we turn to the Lord for our salvation and ask him for help, he says, approved. You might be on lockdown today, but if you cry out to God, be merciful to me, God. He says to you, approved, when you're honest to God. Perhaps you struggle with promiscuity in life, but now you live for the Lord in humility. God says you're approved in him. When you cry out to God, be merciful to me, God. I'm a sinner. God will always approve you and me. Maybe you have some problems telling the truth, embellishing your life, blowing yourself up, making yourself look better on social media because you want to be like the rest of the crowd. But when you cry out to God, Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm a sinner, God. You made me to be who I am. God will approve you. Maybe you've lived with some insecurities far too long that you feel like you're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not strong enough. But when you come to God and say, Lord, here I am. I'm open to you. I'm honest with you, oh God. Take me. Take the wreck in me. Take the mess in me. Take the sin in me. God will take it and God will approve you in me. Maybe you've been victimized or hurt or abandoned or rejected, but don't play the role of the victim. God says approved. Be honest to God that we can't impress. God is not impressed with going to church, the fact that you tithe and that you serve. God is concerned with your heart and my heart. And just like the tax collector, it has to be a heart of humility. It's this heart and this life that God accepts. And through Jesus, he said, it's a life that's approved. That you're approved to be free, approved to be whole, approved to be accepted by God, appreciated by God, comforted by God, cared for by God, loved by God, approved by God when we're honest to God. And I love what the songwriter said, I came to Jesus just as I was, that I was exposed, that I couldn't hide something from him anyway, that I was weary and wounded and sad, but I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I wonder how many honest worshipers do we have in the house today that you can come to Jesus right now. You can lift up hands before God, and your heart is right before God right now. You know that you're not perfect. You don't always get it right, but you love God with all of your heart. Come on, any worshipers, any praisers, you love God with all of your heart, with all of your might, with all of your strength. God, take me as I am. Here I am, God. Blemishes and flaws and insecurities and mess and all. Clean me up and make me right. Make me whole before you right now, oh God. I cry out to you. You are the God of my salvation. Make me whole. Make me right. God, I just want to be honest with you. You know everything about everything anyway. But how many of us are really honest to God and honest with God? That God is asking you, I said this last week and the week before, that God may be asking you in this very moment that there's something in your life that displeases him. And God says, stop covering up. Stop making excuses. Because sometimes excuses will run out. And God wants results. But those results can only happen if we're honest to God, if we're open and we're real with him. What is it in your life? Can you really say that you're about that life, the life of Jesus Christ? Galatians 2:20 life, that I've been crucified with Christ. But nevertheless, I live. But yet not I, but while I live this life in the flesh, it's Christ living in me. It's his spirit living in me. And now I live this life truly, honestly, and openly, and wholly, and totally for him. I want to be honest. I want to be honest to God and real with him. Amen. Pray with me. Lord, we want to be about that life. And that life is the life that Jesus died to give us.
that Isaiah said it best, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. That we're bought into a real relationship with you, Father. And that relationship only comes through Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for salvation. And today, this morning, Jesus, we open our hearts to you totally, to be real, to be honest. Did we say we believe what your word says? To love, have compassion, to flee certain things, to not say certain things, not do certain things, but we find ourselves doing those things. But we can say like Paul today, thanks be to God for Jesus, because it's through him we have the victory. But that victory is never won if we aren't honest. That we can't decide that we'll pick and choose which scriptures in the Bible we want to apply to us, and the others we'll refute and we'll throw out. We can't say when something in scripture, my life doesn't line up with something in scripture, and we feel that pain, we feel that stick, we feel that prick to get it right. We can't just say, I refuse to do so and I won't. You called us to be holy just as you are holy. And a part of that holiness starts with being honest. And so here we are. And we ask Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, did you clean us up and make us whole? We come to you with all of our flaws and our failures, and we submit our hearts to you today. And Father, I pray right now for that person under the sound of my voice that does not have a relationship with you. That sometimes we look at the lives of other believers and it's raggedy, and people may say, if that's what Jesus looks like, I don't want that. But all of us must stand before you one day. And it won't be about what somebody else did or didn't do. That you hold all of us accountable for our sins. And the only way those sins are washed away is through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's believing on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. So we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. We believe in our hearts he raised him from the dead. And your word says it settles it. We're saved. And from there on, we walk out a life that pleases you. So speak to a heart right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, that they would come to you. Holy Spirit, do only what you can do. We trust you and we believe you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.